today on Vox Talks Economics, the alpha political male. Welcome to another of our special episodes recorded at the CEPR Annual Symposium in Paris. My name is Tim Phillips. We hear a lot at the moment about the behaviour of alpha males. So what happens when you put them in charge of a country? That's the idea behind research by Mario Carrillo from the Autonomous University of Barcelona. When I spoke to him at the symposium, I started by asking him what traits we traditionally value in our political leaders.
Well, there is a well-established research showing that there are some specific traits, such as education, for instance, or, of course, political ideology from right to left wing. And more recently, the focus has been also on populist ideologies. Mm-hmm. So these characteristics have been shown to be important to predict policy outcomes and, of course, also economic outcomes. However, what appears to be missing is the psychological dimension into it. And that's precisely what we advance in this paper, in which we analyze the so-called alpha trait characteristic.
And what sort of traits would we describe as alpha traits?
So this goes into a set of behaviors, such as competitiveness, aggressiveness, assertiveness. Psychologists have called these dominant personalities. And to some extent, they mimic what we see out there in politics right now. We are in the era of the strongman.
We are in the era of the strongman. Do you also see this type of leader in business?
To some extent, we see this not only in business, but also in other disciplines and other fields. For instance, virtually any notable individuals, on average, notable individuals tend to have much higher alpha traits than the rest of the population. And this is something that we establish in our paper. But in addition, for instance, CEOs have very high alpha traits, and there is also variation between CEOs. Mm-hmm. So those CEOs who are more alpha, they tend to take more risks, and this shows up in their performance of their company.
If I was one of these alpha males, why would I be tempted to go into politics? What would it do for me?
You certainly would have a comparative advantage with respect to your competitors, since that's a highly competitive environment. I'm sure that if you saw the last U.S. presidential debates, they were all quite heated. And so as a result, this would certainly give an advantage. But in addition, it's really the population, the citizens that want more of these alpha leaders in some specific periods. And that's what survey data show.
So if I'm an alpha, then I could go into politics because, well, it's sort of made for me at the moment. I've got a good chance of success and people seem to like it. What about looking at it from the other end? What could we suggest, could we speculate, might happen if you put me in charge of a country?
Well, if you think about what the alpha trait characteristics are, they're this propensity to take risks. And as a result, these kind of leaders could take risky decisions, which could generate more volatility in the economy. Of course, at the same time, if you think about what psychologists have shown, that voters are more likely to support alpha leaders in times of risk and high volatility. And as a result, this could create a vicious cycle that amplifies volatility and international tensions.
If a populist leader takes power in an economic superpower, does it lead to more conflict in other places? In our episode, Populism and War, from November 2024, Massimo Morelli shows us the evidence on how populism affects international relations, peace, and inequality. Get access to this episode when you subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, so this is a fascinating question to research, but there is a problem in doing this research, isn't it? How do we work out who these alphas are without relying on their actions, because we want to see whether being an alpha predicts their actions. How do you do that?
Precisely. That's one of the major challenges we tackle in this research. So our approach is to measure something fundamental that they cannot change, something predetermined, if you wish. So we make use of two decades of well-established research saying that facial morphology is a strong predictor of behavior. And there is a large number of studies showing that. And the underlying question you may have is why that's the case.
Why?
So the underlying mechanism that has been emphasized is the following, is the role of testosterone. Testosterone affects our behavior, and that's a well-known link between hormones and behavior, and especially this alpha-related behavior. But on the other hand, testosterone also affects our bones growth, especially in the adolescent stage, and as a result, it affects the shape of our face. As a result, we can use facial morphology, and in particular, a measure called facial width-to-height ratio, as a proxy of testosterone and alpha behavioral traits.
This is going to blow the minds of some people because it sounds like what people used to do in Victorian times, where they measured the shape of people's heads to work out what sort of person they are. But you're saying this is well-grounded in science.
Precisely. There are two decades of research showing that in various contexts. Also, for instance, one of the contexts there is much evidence about is in sports, because that's precisely what you would expect. It's one of the highly competitive environments. So sports players, for instance, that have a more masculine face are more likely to be aggressive, to commit more faults, and so on and so forth. And so this is just one of the elements of this well-established research showing this.
So you're conducting this experiment on a database of leaders, political leaders. How far does it go back?
At least 1900.
How do you manage to do that at scale, measure these facial characteristics for so many leaders?
That's a great question. So what we do, we collect facial images of leaders in the last 120 years across over almost 200 countries. And then we use artificial intelligence to basically measure the landmarks, namely the coordinates of the face. Once we have these coordinates, we can calculate any geometry, including this so-called facial width-to-height ratio, which is our measure of facial masculinity and is the most well-established one.
So all this takes is a photograph of the political leader. And of course, political leaders are well-photographed people.
Precisely. Of course, we also have to be careful because we need a specific head position. We need good quality pictures and so on and so forth. So, of course, for big countries like the US, it's very easy to find. But for smaller countries in the 30s, it would be much more difficult. But that's the approach.
So using this method, do we find that political leaders are more than averagely alpha?
Absolutely. But to answer this question, we also need to have a benchmark. And that's what we do. We use facial pictures of Wikipedia. Imagine all the Wikipedia pages that are available. So we scraped all of them. And we calculated for those who we have a sufficiently good picture, we calculated this metric, and this allows us to have a comparison group. And what we find is that across the whole world, leaders tend to be substantially above notable individuals. Of course, also notable individuals are a selected sample.
Yes.
They are also...
Because you might expect them to be more alpha than the population as a whole.
Precisely. And that's the question we ask. And for one country, and for the United States, for which there are very good data, we can also get a sense of these alpha male traits for the whole population. And what we find is that, again, leaders tend to be much above the general population, and also the general population tend to be below the elite. So this really suggests that there is a trait here that we are capturing that is fundamental of the competitiveness and how people are selected into leadership.
Now, is this a trend? Because you said at the moment we're in a strongman era of politics. Is there a trend towards us valuing these alpha characteristics more in politics?
This is perhaps one of the most striking findings we have, because what we find is that the trend is going upward right before some major events such as World War I. And then after World War II, we see that it starts going up again. One period in which, unfortunately, it's increasing is the last decades. Specifically, after 9/11, we see again an increase. So it suggests that this increase in the share of alpha leaders is really linked to the international tensions that we are all experiencing these days.
Is this something that is universal across the world in every country, or do some regions, some countries in particular, really value the alpha leader?
These patterns are prevalent basically everywhere, but there are some places in which, for instance, the gap between the general population, proxied by the elite and the leader, is bigger. Mm. And this is particularly the case for less developed countries, in which perhaps getting into leadership positions is even more competitive. And also in some countries, we see that recently this upward trend is speeding up.
We started by discussing what sort of actions that alpha leaders are likely to take. As you say, they embrace risk more, for example. So you put two alphas in charge of two countries. Does this mean that we're more likely to have conflict between them?
That's one of the questions we asked ourselves, because if you think about it, that's what happens in the animal world.
Yes.
The most dangerous situation is when you have two alpha males fighting for leadership. And so what we test with our data is precisely this possibility, the possibility that whether two alpha males can somehow erode the relationship between their respective countries, and that's what we find. We do find that trade relationships tend to go down during these periods, and we do find that there could be an escalation of tensions that could, in principle, also reach military conflict.
Now, this does rely, however, on a sort of a great man theory of politics, that it's the leader that's setting the tone and making things happen. Can we be sure that this is a causal link from the leader to what's happening, or is this all part of this a general situation?
As an economist, I'm always very skeptical of saying the word causality or causal. So in this first paper, what we are doing is to cast light on this question by generating a novel measure, a novel data that have not been used before. But we believe that more research has to be done to actually say a final statement about causality. And that's something we are working on, looking at subnational data and more finer econometric specifications.
In the meantime, if we were thinking, well, perhaps we have too many strongman leaders at the moment, and that's making the world a worse place. Is there really anything we can do about that? Because we can't say to people, you can't stand for election because of the shape of your face.
Of course, we cannot say that. We do not want to do that. And it's something that it's obviously impossible. We should not do that. We are not saying that an alpha leader is necessarily good or bad. An alpha leader is someone who is more willing to take risks. Sometimes it's what we need. Sometimes it's not what we need, because this could come at a cost of generating international tensions. So the objective of this research agenda is to inform citizens. When they vote for someone who is so confrontational, this could come at a cost. And they could consider these costs and how they affect all of us.
It's a fascinating piece of research. I'm looking forward to the next stages in it. Thank you very much, Marion.
Thank you so much, Tim.
This paper is work in progress, so look out for it. It is called The Alpha Political Male. The authors, Mario Carrillo and Marta Reynal Querol.
Vox Talks Economics is a Talk Normal production. The assistant producer is Megan Bieber, and our editor is Andrei Zagarian. Next week on Vox Talks Economics, in a special series, we ask, what's next for Ukraine?